All right, turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading to Psalm 18. Psalm 18, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. To the chief musician, the Psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord, and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and his cry... And my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub, and did fly, yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows, and light scattered them. And he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. With the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, and wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them, that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth. And blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forevermore. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so the title in this psalm tells us that it was composed by David somewhat later in his life, thanking the Lord for his deliverance from all of his enemies. Note also that the psalm is messianic, and there are times in this psalm when David slips into speech that would be unacceptable truly for himself, but under what the old theologians called the prophetic afflatus, or from that under that prophetic influence of the Spirit of God, David enters into then speaking in the first person words that belong in the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Bishop George Horn, in his commentary on the Psalter, declares that this psalm speaks of the sufferings, resurrection, righteousness, and conquests of Christ to the destruction of the Jews and the conversion of the Gentiles. I think that's very, very appropriate. Calvin, a little bit more judiciously, states that David showed that his reign was an image and type of the kingdom of Christ, and he goes on to assure that all in Christ's reign, that in that reign we shall be delivered from our enemies as well. Jonathan Edwards, in his book Religious Affections, has a very interesting comment. He says, "And it is moreover to be observed that David in the book of Psalms speaks not as a private person, but as the psalmist of Israel, as the subordinate head of the church of God, and leader in their worship and praises. And in many of the psalms, he speaks in the name of Christ, personating him in these breathings forth of the holy affections, and in many others, he speaks in the name of the church." And so here, it is very clear that David speaks, as President Edwards would say, personating Christ, or those words that are found in his mouth are indeed the words of Christ. And of course we see that in those statements about the perfection of the psalmist. David was by no means a perfect man. And then we also see that when we see long about verses 43 and 44 that the strangers, the Gentiles, shall come and bow themselves before this king. Of course, we see some of that, don't we, in prophetic circumstance with regard to Solomon's reign. And many that came and bowed before Solomon, the queen of Sheba, Hiram, king of Tyre, and so on, and all of those Gentiles that did obeisance to him. So, with all of that then, let's dive into the psalm. I think that really verses 1 through 3, and including the introduction, this makes up a proper outline for the rest of the psalm. It may not be an exact one-for-one, head-for-head outline, but it tells us what the psalm is about. It's about David's conquering in Christ over all of his enemies, how that is prophetic of the reign of Christ himself, and how that all who are in Christ themselves will be delivered from his and their enemies. And this is really the warp and woof of Psalm 18. So notice the praise that is in David's mouth, and this is what Edwards would call some of those religious or holy affections. Notice what David says, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. I will love thee." And remember that love in Scripture is not primarily palpitations. That's not to say it doesn't include palpitations, strong feeling. It does. But it begins with a sanctified heart that leaps toward Christ in obedience, right? Isn't that what Jesus said? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And we'll see that, Lord willing, a little bit later on today. I will love thee. Now, we love him because he first loved us. He delivered us, seeing then that deliverance, we love him. And so the question we must ask ourselves when we hear David speak like this is, how is your love toward Christ? How is your love toward God the Father in Christ? How is that expressed in your life? Is it expressed through these kinds of sanctified affections that we see here? Is it expressed through a hearty obedience and a grief over sin? Remember, that's what love is as far as the Scriptures are concerned toward God. And I've told you before the story where Joanna and I, when we were back in California, we had a lady that was sitting in our living room telling us that she just really loved Jesus. And at that particular time, we knew something about her that and her life and her lifestyle, it proved that she did not love Jesus. But I'm sure she spoke out of what she thought was sincere affection. But remember that love is a much larger thing than that. It involved obedience. It involves obedience. All right, so David calls the Lord his rock, his fortress, his strength, his shield, his buckler. David, it is as if he is just listing things out off the top of his head in that prophetic spontaneity, if you will. The horn of my salvation, the horn of anything, is its strength and my high tower. And so David speaks of the Lord as his great protector. There are lots of things out there offering to be your protectors. There are lots of entities out there who would claim to rise up to give you security, and none of them are worthy of your trust. Only Christ. And so David's singular focus on the Lord Jesus Christ as his protector, as his shield and buckler and so on. That comes to the fore here. All right, so then in verses 4 through 19, first of all, we have under strong poetical figures the struggle of David's life. We may not realize it. It may not come to our consciousness that often. But let us remember that this life that we're in is a struggle for life. When David talks about the sorrows of hell compassed me about, the word hell there, Sheol, the grave. The sorrows of the grave compassed me about, the snares of death, the great waters, and so on. All of those threats to life. David is not speaking primarily there of his physical life. But David is reasoning from the threat that he was under from time to time with regard to his physical life to his very spiritual life. This is the thing that the enemy of your souls wants you to ignore. That you're in a fight for your life, all this life. That where the tree lies at the end of its existence is the direction that it will face for eternity. Remember how Solomon puts that in Ecclesiastes 12? And that's why the Apostle Paul writes, it's not looking behind, it's looking before. That's why we can say of Manasseh, he was a good king, because we know how he ended, not how he began. This entire life is a struggle, is a fight for your eternal life. And if it were dependent upon you, you would fall. How does David start? The Lord is my shield. The Lord is my buckler. The Lord is my tower. He does not trust in anything else. He does not trust in past events. He does not trust in who he was. He does not trust even in who he is. He trusts in the Lord and the Lord's ability to bring him all the way to the end. And so David, under strong and very dramatic poetical figures, speaks of the Lord who drew him out of the deep waters, who the Lord, because he delighted in him, blasted with his nostrils and cleared the waters away and drew him up and protected him and brought him into the safe harbor and kept him in the midst of those who were too strong for him and who would, if the Lord did not rise up for him, have consumed him. That's who we are. This is strong gospel language here in Psalm 18 to speak to us about the threat that we are constantly under. Because remember, as the Apostle Paul said, as you have received Jesus Christ, and how was that? That was by faith. So walk ye in him. How do you walk? By faith. It is a day by day, from here until the end walk, that we must complete and accept the Lord should rise up and strengthen us to that perseverance. We would fall away. So then these strong figures of deliverance are really spiritual deliverance, where the Lord rises up to defend us from his and our enemies. He sent out his strong arrows. He scattered those enemies. He shot out lightnings and discomfited them. The channels of water were seen, and so on. So these are very dramatic and strong, because indeed the fight, the struggle that David is speaking about is the most important struggle, the most important fight there is. It is for your very eternal life and mine. All right, so then in the next section, in verses 20 through 27, we have the deliverance according to the justice and mercy of God. And here we have an application with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then a relative application with regard to his people. First of all, the perfection of our Lord Jesus Christ is what is in view here. And this is one of those places in the Psalms where David personates Christ in his speech. He rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me. I did not put his statutes from me. I was upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. Anybody ready to stand up for that? Well, obviously not. This is speaking of Christ. And yet, my dear brothers and sisters, there's also a relative understanding that we should have of this, that those who belong to Jesus Christ should have some kind of resemblance to him, a sanctified resemblance to him, while not resembling him in utter perfection, is resembling him in the direction of our lives toward holiness and obedience. And so there is a sense in which David could speak these words as one who is relatively holy or graciously holy in that sense. And yet, we understand that this is spoken absolutely only of Jesus Christ. But see how the justice of God is vindicated in this section, because the Lord only deals in righteousness with his people. First, with his natural son, Jesus Christ, who is indeed perfect, and then with all those who are in him. All right, so then in verses 29 through 45, the psalmist anticipates God's continued blessing. And this anticipation is also given in poetic terms. Run through a troop, overleap a wall. He makes my feet like hind's feet. You know what a hind is, right? A hind is a deer. Some of you, I know, have watched those videos where you have billy goats, mountain goats, running on the mountains, and you see them. They're on these sheer cliffs, and they're, you know, how do they do that? Well, because they have hind's feet. That's how. They don't slip. They are kept. Their feet don't slide. And so the Lord makes our feet like hinds' feet. Notice, He keeps us. So we have sure-footedness in that sense. David says, I have been victorious in the past, and then I have a strong anticipation that in the future, by the Lord, I will also triumph. And then we have these messianic overtones. Thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people who have not known me shall serve me, and strangers shall submit themselves unto me. And obviously, this is David's personation of Christ once again, where we have Christ's worldwide reign over all the nations of the earth. So then the psalm closes with praise. The Lord liveth, blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. In Romans chapter 15, verses 7 through 9, the Apostle Paul helps us with that interpretation, where he puts these words in the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, great deliverance he giveth to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed. You know what anointed is, right? We could just as easily translate that as great deliverance he giveth to his king, and showeth mercy to his Christ, to David, and to his seed forevermore. Well, we understand then. We have that sound hermeneutical principle to put much of this psalm in the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ, do we not? All right, well, let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.